and joined now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, this offseason has been defined by the Browns addressing their defense.
Yes.
Not a lot of discussion about offense until recently with the David Nelson acquisition, the former Bills wide receiver, and that perked some people up saying, okay, maybe something's been done here to help this offense. But in general, this really hasn't been much in the way of offensive discussion for the team. I just wonder if now we can think about the draft maybe being that place, even though a lot of folks suspect the sixth overall pick is going to go to another defender.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think a lot of people still assume that in the Browns' draft plans, Vic, that there's still some work to be done defensively because of the shift in format, what they're going to do and go to the 3-4, with the fact that they still look as though they need some help in the secondary, that they're young, and that on the other side of Joe Haden, it looks like there's an opening there for somebody to come in. And so I know that there is a very talented cornerback, Dee Milner, coming out of the University of Alabama. Would he fit at number 6? That's where a lot of people are wondering what the Browns will do there. So I still think in the draft, people are thinking that the Browns do not have enough done still defensively, that there are still some holes on the defense, and that they'll go that way too. And that you really have to consider that, especially, you know, last year with Whedon and Richardson and others coming in here, and Travis Benjamin too, that there in the last few years there has been a lot of work donated to the offensive side, and now you got to go on the other side, and you have to, you know, take a look at that and try and fix the holes and patch them up over there and get talented and deep over on that side of the ball. And I, you know, there's been a lot of money spent on this offensive unit, both in the skill positions and certainly on the offensive line.
Sure. I think the thing we look at and hear most about is, again, what will happen at wide receiver. Right. Where's the experienced guy and the need for that? Now, David Nelson doesn't qualify as bringing a lot of experience to this team by any means, but he brings something in the way of production, meaningful production a couple of years ago. Yeah, he was hurt last year. And you look at him, he's a lean guy at 6'5", but so you could see where he could probably add some muscle and maybe get a little bit bigger. But more than anything, you think about the red zone and you think about what a problem that's been for the Browns. So can you look at Nelson to join others in running those fade routes and giving you production in the end zone?
Well, the other thing I think about too is I think about the San Diego Chargers. And I go that route because we have a heavy influence of San Diego coming now to the Browns with Rob Chudzinski. And even before you mention his name, you should mention Norv Turner. And the thing that always struck me about the Chargers was they must have had a heck of an off-season charity basketball team because they had size at wide receiver. Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Jackson, big guys. Gates, of course, was a basketball player here at Kent State. And I always looked at them as the thing that struck me is that, yeah, they can go up and get it, but they didn't have to go up that high because they were already pretty high when they were standing, you know, toes on the ground.
Yeah.
So I think the size thing kind of goes back to a little bit of giving whoever that quarterback is going to be, Whedon, Campbell, you know, good targets. And they're, you know, that's been a problem here. You know, Massaquah was not a big guy, and it really came back and hurt him a great deal. I think that that's another reason why they're looking for that style or that cutout, that frame of a wide receiver.
Yeah, because I think, too, the trend of this game in the matchups is that corners, defensive backs, are getting bigger. You look at Seattle's team, and they're an exception, exceptional because they have two of the biggest corners in the game, but other teams have followed following suit and want to follow suit. And when you look at draft evaluators looking at the crop of college players at the DB positions, size is a premium.
It is.
So you can look forward to more of those matchups, and I think you've got to think that way. Clearly, that has been a big thought process for Norv Turner. I think it's a thought process for Rob Chudzinski, and then for the people who are picking the personnel, Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi for the Browns, they see that. They see those matchups coming
out. And, you know, Vic, Joe Haden plays around his size. He really does. He plays through it, and he plays really high off the ground when he needs to get off the ground. He's got exceptional timing. He's always in a good position.
And he's strong.
And he's a strong guy. He gets right into a receiver. But you go back to last year, and I still go back to that Dallas game, and, you know, there were many times probably Buster Screen was in really good technical position. But he couldn't make the play because Dez Bryant was just bigger than him.
Right.
You know, I mean, and those kind of things happen. I mean, you know, you do have to have size. Now, if you have it, it's a good thing for you. If you don't have it, you're going to have to fight through it.
Anquan Boldin, when he was with the Ravens.
Absolutely. And good point. Yeah.
Now with the 49ers, he didn't wow you with speed, but he certainly got stuff done physically.
I mean, in that Thursday night game, second half against the Browns, Boldin was covered well technically.
Yeah.
But he just went and got the ball because he was big all the way around.
He was covered technically in the Super Bowl, too, when Joe Flacco did that rollout play and heaved it up to the sideline, and he was just too big to and could jump to get the ball.
Final point, Vic, on that is in the NFL, unlike figure skating, there are no marks for technical support.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This is a big time of year for draft prospects to make visits, to have private workouts, for teams to sort of it gets out. Some teams are more transparent about this and actually publish their list and say, this is who we're visiting, this is who we're meeting with. Others are a little more secretive about it, but it still spills out there, and agents always make sure you know. So you're aware of the Browns looking at a lot of people, and it's notable, and this question comes up a lot, that they've taken a look at a lot of quarterbacks.
Unbelievable. You know, every night when I'm at Constantino's Market downtown, you should go there, everybody. But when I'm down there, Vic, people keep saying, what quarterback
shameless
did they have?
Plug.
What quarterback did they have in today? And invariably, they've had somebody in.
Yeah.
I mean, for a year, unlike last year where you had headline guys at quarterback, no question about it. They were all, a lot of them, and they were all going to go in the first round. Coming into this draft, that wasn't going to be the case. You could make a case that all of these quarterbacks could go in the second round or later in the draft. Now, probably people are going to make the jump and get itchy at the trigger finger and make a pick in the first round. But the Browns are doing one of two things, or maybe both. They're doing their due diligence, obviously, taking a look at these guys. Maybe they do see something. And the other point is this, that maybe they're just sending the message out there to the NFL that, hey, listen, if there is a quarterback on your radar and you're saying to yourself, but I don't know, what is Cleveland doing, you know, taking a look at all these quarterbacks? If we're going to sit back, maybe we can't. Maybe we need to talk to them.
They've put maybe the proverbial for sale sign on the number six overall pick for a team that wants to move there. But it's so curious because teams that are, and I'm not going to say the Browns aren't in dire need of a good quarterback because they're still trying to see if that answer is there. But they do at least have on their roster a guy in Brandon Whedon that they can see what they have. But the teams that were bereft at the position made moves to get experienced guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, so in the last 10 days.
In the last 10 days, we know how those dominoes have fallen with Carson Palmer and Kevin Cobb and Matt Flynn. That all said, I think part of this is for sure to do the due diligence, to see who's there and possibly pick someone up along the way. But as much as this draft class at quarterback has been talked down, as much as people basically say none of these guys is worth anything, you and I both know someone won't be able to help themselves or a team won't be able to help itself and will need and will want to on draft day jump into the top 10 to get a guy to say, no, we love him. He's not going to be there when we pick lower in this round, or we can't wait until the second round.
So,
from that standpoint, I think creating – and I think the more visits these guys have and the more teams like the Browns and other teams, the Bills at number eight, who – they picked up Kevin Cobb, but they could certainly still be in the market for a quarterback and apparently are, want everybody to know, hey, we're looking.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I'm sure there are two things here on this side, Vic, and that is, number one, we really don't know the draft tendencies of this new Browns regime here because we haven't had them drafting for the Cleveland Browns. We sort of knew what Tom Heckert was going to do, and we sort of knew what was going to happen before that and what Phil Savage would do, but we really don't know yet, I don't think. I mean, we don't know what Michael Lombardi's going to do and what Joe Banner's going to do and what Chud wants and that kind of thing. And the other thing is, on the quarterback issue, I'm sure teams are saying, you know, there's Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner sitting there in Cleveland. I mean, maybe they do feel that there's a guy here, you know, in this draft class at quarterback that they say, hey, listen, we can make this guy great. Now, I'm just saying, you know, that's what other teams are going to take a look at because teams have to play every possible scenario, I think, if they're looking for something and looking at teams in front of them and what might those teams do. And I'm sure, you know, that's the puzzle that everyone's trying to solve right now.
Now, the Browns hit the practice field next week. This is the final week of non-football stuff where it's just conditioning and meetings with players. They get out there for that first mini camp next week. I'm wondering what it is that you want to see and what all of us will kind of be. I know we'll all look for different things. And, again, this isn't contact. It's very limited, but it's mostly on air. But there is a football involved at least.
Right.
And you do get some people out there, some new people, to see what they do. Is there anything in particular, Jim, that you just sort of want to notice and, okay, say, yeah, that's something that tells me that they've added this right piece or whatever? What are you looking for?
Well, I am looking, at the guys who we watched last year as rookies now come in and what their whole body situation is and kind of how they're acting. I mean, how is Richardson acting as now coming in second year running back and definitely had an off season that Trent really needed to get physically 100%. How is Whedon handling everything that happened to him from the point of his last start, which was before the last game of the season, so the game out in Denver? How's he handled everything, and now how's he going to attack this situation here where he, he is the quarterback, but we say, he's the quarterback. I mean, it's not a definitive thing yet, but I think, how's he going to react to this? So that's something, and I think you see it right away. How are they acting out there? Are they tepid, or, are they, missing on throws, as you said, and on a day where they really should connect on a lot of throws because there's no hitting involved? And the other thing I guess you're looking at is, how much teaching is going on, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton because no matter which side of the ball you're talking about, there are a lot of new people here, coaches and players.
Yeah, and I think that body language thing is interesting.
It is.
I like to see the same. I'll look for that as well. I've been looking for it over these last week and the better part of this week so far, middle of this week, to see how players are interacting with each other. And you still see, obviously, people in the same groups, the position groups kind of tend to hang out together between meetings and lunch and whatever. And then you also look for the newer guys kind of getting together with each other. And I think, for instance, at linebacker, mm-hmm. DeQuell Jackson and Quentin Grove seem to have become fast friends. And that would make sense given DeQuell's leadership role,
yes,
right, as a core guy of this defense, and then Grove's coming over with the most Ray Horton knowledge, at least,
sure,
from his one season with Arizona last
year. Yeah, and I knew that even before you said it right there, that when you center in on the linebacker position, that's what DeQuell Jackson is all about. I mean, he really takes his role very seriously here and uses the years that he's been here, in a positive way, not saying, gosh, I've been here for a long time and we've never won. Hey, I've been here a long time and everybody wants to win and no one wants to win more than I do. So if you can help me as a newcomer to the team to turn this around, I'm welcome to that. I want this thing to turn around. I want to be playing in significant games. And I think DeQuell's a great helper too. I really do. And I think he accepts help. I think that in no way does DeQuell Jackson consider himself a finished product at linebacker. I think he feels that he lost a couple of years.
Yeah.
And, he wants to play as long as he can, and he'll do whatever he can to pick up another trick of the trade to stay on that field.
And it'll be interesting in general just to see how Rob Chudzinski runs a practice, what the format is going to look at. Again, we don't see identically what will be held during training camp when pads are on and the drilling is more intensive. And again, you have more players because you haven't got this draft class there yet. But just his structure mm-hmm. will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think so. And he talked about something a couple of weeks ago, and it was, this is all going to be new for him because as a coordinator and even as a position coach, he spent a lot of time upstairs during games. And, now he's going to have a new sight line. He's going to be on the sideline. He's going to be the head coach. And he's going to have other responsibilities. That's always, I think guys relish the fact of becoming a head coach, certainly at any level, and definitely the highest point in the NFL. But then how do you adapt to that? Because it's really new. You're not just handling tight ends anymore. You're not just handling the offense. I mean, it's much broader. You're not just meeting with the media one day. You're going to meet with them every day now. And your whole day gets carved out in a different way. So it will be interesting to see, Rob take this new responsibility and a lot more responsibility on. But I think he's very confident with his staff. And I think he's been selective and deservedly so. And I think he feels that he's brought a good group of coaches in with him.
Jim, wonderful.
Good to see you, Vic.
We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely.
He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up, Jameer Howerton sits down with one of the newest Browns, Quinton Groves. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.